Hey, wonderfuls, welcome to episode 324 of the podcast with my lovely guest, Sierra Payton. I feel sure you will enjoy this episode. It's fascinating. She's got some amazing stories to tell and is an all-around great person. So I am confident in saying this episode is a winner. I hope everyone's doing very well indeed. The only other thing I just wanted to mention is that, of course, if you're new to the podcast, you may not know this. Probably most of you do know that as we kind of all cascade into summer, I will be once again launching the Boys of Summer series, where we will have special male gentlemen. How many other ways can I say that? Guests. And by the way, sorry to be so gender normative with everything. As longtime listeners of the podcast know, I certainly do not exclude those who identify neither as male or female. So if you have people that you would like for me to speak with, that is something that I feel strongly about as well and enjoy very much talking to and meeting folks who have had maybe a less conventional experience growing up as some of us. So I welcome that. I don't know if I could have said that more clunkily, but it is something that I have thought about as I, you know, sort of look at the Boys of Summer of it all. And as we continue to adapt and improve as a species, y'all. So I'm going to go ahead and shut myself down right now. And later we'll think about how awkward this entire intro was. But for now, please enjoy this episode with Sierra. Goodbye. I am pleased and delighted to welcome you to my home.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a very good sign that you immediately took your shoes off and put a pillow in your lap. That is my jam.
Yeah.
All day long. And so, but you also look very polished and wonderful. I almost wish that this was on camera, except not for me.
No, hey,
I'm painting clothes.
I'm just trying to, you know, give you some presentation.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to need to do two monologues. Do one Shakespearean and one contemporary. One funny, one sad.
Out damn spot. That's one.
Great. Macbeth. Moving on.
Yeah. All right. Great. Uh-huh, great. And the other one, we'll just improv this.
Was that it?
Yeah, that's
it. Great.
That was everything.
Great.
Yeah.
The we'll just improv this monologue is one of my favorites. Did you have to do, did you do a lot of theater kind of stuff where you did have to, because it has been a very long time since I had to prepare monologues for something.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird. I audited a class not long ago and they had them doing monologues in there.
Was it
and
just a theater brush up kind of a class?
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, that's like, so bizarre, because who does monologues still?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow. In high school, that was like the jam to just like make sure you had some monologues in your back pocket.
Right.
Because I went to performing arts high school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even before that, I went to a magnet school. I don't know if we have those out here.
Yeah. I'm from Arizona, but yeah, had public schools that, my public schools were fine arts.
Have the arts and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like trying to find that Shakespeare monologue and, you know, the contemporary stuff is pretty cool. So,
yeah. Did you, where was, so it wasn't in California, probably.
No,
not,
I went to school in New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you have magnet schools like I did.
Yeah.
Were they in, were they scattered all over the city and would you bus in?
Yeah. Well, so,
I guess that's what a magnet is supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't know what the heck a magnet means and why does it have to do with arts?
It must be because it must be like an actual magnet. Like we want to pull people from all over the city to this school.
Well, you know, but in New Orleans, and I think it's the same thing out here in Los Angeles, you have to go to your district school. Mm. And so, the district I lived in was like the hood. And so like when I went to a school down the street from me and I only lasted there for 2 weeks because it was like just rough.
Yeah.
And so my dad, he was a busboy at a restaurant in New Orleans, in the French Quarter, New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so his boss was like, you know, crazy rich guy that owned, you know, all these restaurants in the French Quarter. And my dad just worked it out with him to be like, hey, like, can we just use your address to get my daughter?
That's a golden ticket there when people can make that work.
And so that's how it happened. And I mean, he was like, yeah, why not? Like, let's get her out of that school. And so I ended up going to the school in the French Quarter at this magnet school.
Okay.
I mean, and it was literally, it was on the corner of Bourbon Street.
Oh, wow.
And St. Philip. So I had to, my dad would drive down Bourbon Street every morning to bring me to school. And I saw my fair share of boobs.
I was going to say, you probably don't have drunks. The same overall positivity that like people on spring break have when they're like,
but you know, it was so, that's the thing. Like, it was just so normal, you know, like, well, for me, like just driving down Bourbon Street and seeing, you know, the street cleaning happening. Cause the night before everybody's
just the
leaving
smell of stale.
And then it's just like, you would see the locals that are just chilling, like having coffee. And then you see the drunk tourists that were there the night before, like sprawl down the street or like lost or something. Gosh. And I just remember just being like, well, Dad, there's a drunk guy. And he's like, all right,
it's get out of the car. Well, otherwise known as Tuesday
or any other day of the week. Exactly. So, so that was my magnet school experience, the first one. And then I went to another one. And then I went to performing arts high school.
So the magnet school was junior high?
It was like elementary.
Oh, what?
So
yeah.
It was fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Yep.
And then I went to Lusher Extension, which was also a magnet school, for seventh and eighth. And then I went to New Orleans Center for Performing Arts or Creative Arts for high school.
Nice. Where is that? Yeah. Is that in?
It's down the street from McDonough 15. So it's actually, it's called the Bywater area. So it's kind of like on the outskirts of the French Quarter, which is like more residential, but still like has a little bit of the craziness going on there. Very artsy. I mean, all the homes are like pink or purple or yellow and stuff. And then we just have like this huge facility where, I mean, it's like an art boot camp, you know, and
that's
a great school. I mean, Harry Connick Jr. came from there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Wynton Marcellus, Wendell Pierce, Anthony Mackie. And
it's right on.
Great alumni.
The school that you, the elementary school that you're at that was in your neighborhood, was it always clear that you were interested in the arts, or was it like, this school sucks? How do we, what else is there? And then you kind of discover the arts through that.
It was kind of both, because when I moved with my dad when I was in fourth grade, I was kind of like the only child. Now I have siblings, but like my older brother, he lived with my grandmother. Mm. And so when I lived with my dad, just being the only child around all these adults, I was just always trying to find ways to keep myself entertained. So, I mean, and it's so lame, but I would literally make little dolls out of paper clips and clothespins and just like spend hours like coloring and making these dresses and stuff. And I think my dad was like, she needs to like do something. She needs to like let this out some kind of way. And so, you know, I would go to Andrew Jackson. That was the school down the street, which is... And just realizing how ironic that
I know, right?
Because like, we just took down the Andrew Jackson statue in New Orleans.
Indeed.
Anyway, so I went to Andrew Jackson for 2 weeks, and there was no arts programs, nothing like that. It was just one of those like really desolate schools, you know. I mean, when I was in fourth grade, there was a girl in my class. I was supposed to be in the eighth grade, and so it was just like a lot of kids were held back. The education wasn't great. I mean, I had my backpack, they kept stealing my backpack or like trying to like tear it open and get stuff out of it.
Yeah.
That my dad, my dolls. Exactly. Like my dad was like, we're going to buy you a clear backpack so they can know that there's nothing in there to steal.
Especially very smart.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
So like I had a clear backpack, and even before that, I had like a little lock on it, and it was just like, you know. So it was quite an experience, and you know, God bless that school. I mean, I've passed by it so many times since then, and I can tell it's a completely different school now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, because that neighborhood is like, it's changed so much. It was there's no arts. There is nothing there. Just very.
That breaks my heart.
And I would like run home and make my little, you know, paperclip dolls and stuff and put them on my shoes. And I guess my dad was like,
Dad was like, this is gotta, I can't stop this.
So,
yeah. Now, was your dad interested in sort of like the kind of cuisine side of working in the restaurant world? And cook? And
oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's where I learned like half of my recipes from, because he kind of just was a guy that just took on all these odd different jobs. I mean, he always talks about when he was 18, his first job was a manager at Popeyes. But he used to love
to that good food right away. Get right into it. it.
And it was like the best Popeyes in New Orleans, you know, because he knew how to like throw extra seasoning and like, you know, all this stuff on it.
People
and
didn't know how lucky they were. Exactly. Or maybe they did.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. Sounds like they did.
Yeah. Michael held that down.
Oh,
and so, yeah, he ended up, he worked offshore, like on the oil rigs and stuff. So he was a chef there as well. Mm. And I mean, I tell you, this man can make the best red beans and rice in the entire world. So that's the recipe I try to take.
I was going to say, do you have
that and gumbo and, oh gosh. I mean, I'm vegan now, but he used to like this amazing pork chop recipe that he taught me. And so, yeah.
Have you adapted recipes to be vegan and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. The main thing that I've found is instead of shrimp, just using like different mushrooms and stuff to like kind of do that. And so
that's great.
Yeah. So I haven't like made a vegan gumbo yet. I don't know what that's going to taste like, but yeah, I could give it a try.
Honestly, put some okra in there. I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I could just do it
that's
all day
so
long.
That's so great because so many people don't like okra.
I don't okra. I think maybe okra. I feel like maybe they're not eating it cooked right, but I guess if you're eating gumbo and you like taste the okra and you put it to the side.
Yeah.
I love it. There's like a almost like a freeze dried salted okra.
Ooh.
That you can get from some like health food stores and stuff.
Yeah.
And I could eat that like chips. Although I guess if it's like in oil and that's how it's,
yeah,
if you're like,
no,
oh,
that's
this is
like
going to be good
how,
no matter what. I can eat a leaf if it was, you know, like freeze dried makes it sound like it's like super healthy,
yeah,
but
exactly.
It's still like a ton of salt and oil.
Let's just put in some oil.
Yeah.
Let's fry that.
Yeah. And I didn't have, I mean, you know, okra is not a particularly Arizona staple. So I don't remember. I probably was already living in San Francisco when I started having like exposure to, you know, foods that were more Southern and just like in a more cosmopolitan city. Not to say Tucson doesn't have great stuff, but
that's
I
where you're
ate
from.
A lot of Mexican food. Yeah.
Nice.
Still do.
Yeah. My aunt, she got married there. So.
Oh, right on.
You see all these beautiful pictures of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What brought her to Tucson?
I have no idea.
Because
like
she
no
liked
one,
it
and... like even in her husband's family, like they weren't from Tucson. They just were fascinated with that part of the world, I guess.
I'm very flattered on behalf of the Sedona National Monument. Oh,
yeah.
Sedona.
That's my favorite place. Yeah.
So great. All right, so let's get you a partner in a like soul food New Orleans style restaurant in Sedona.
Heck yeah.
Where all the rich hippies can go.
Yeah. I'll make it all organic too.
Oh my God.
You heard that?
Listen, we joke, but that would do extremely well.
Oh yeah.
Oh, all right. Did you go to Sedona just as like you'd heard it was great and you ended up there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just... at heart, I'm a big hippie myself. And so I don't even know how I came across it, but I heard about these vortexes in Arizona. And I was like, I want to go to like the hub of where the vortex is, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like Googling and it was like Sedona. And I was like, what? Okay, I got it. And I just started like Googling. People were like sharing all these like amazing experiences that they had. Like, I changed my life like just in the vortex. And
the
I was like,
vortex.
I'm going to the vortex, man. So
now, what do you have to say? Any personal swear by the vortex?
It's like the weirdest feeling. Like when I got there, and I've been there a few times, I always just feel very clear and like I'm like transforming into just molecules or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's
the first
great.
Time I went, like I did this yoga hike and we just like hiked like all in the mountains where the vortex is. And we did some yoga and then we stayed there until the sunset. And that was the scary part because it got super dark.
Oh yeah. And there's not a ton of like just ambient city light in Sedona.
No,
it's so
not
small
at all.
It's real nestled. Yeah.
And so we had to like hike back down in the pitch black and the yoga teacher, he was just like, just trust, you know where you're going. Like, you know, I was just like, what is going on? And our cell phones had died. And so we weren't able
it
to use the light.
Now I feel like you should write a horror movie.
Yeah.
That starts off real nice.
But yeah, it's a beautiful town.
Yeah.
And I went to like Buddha Beach and some creek. What is it? Turtle? No, it's not Turtle Creek. I can't remember the name of it, but...
I feel like I should know because I actually lived just north of Sedona when I was in school for my first couple of years up in Flagstaff. Yeah. And so we would go down the switchbacks to Sedona all the time.
Yeah.
Is it? It's not Turtle Creek?
I
do feel like it's something,
probably is.
Some kind of
I just like jumped in it and it was like hot and just, I was like, yes, this is like, now I'm swimming in the vortex.
Have you gone there in the fall? Not to turn this into an also don't a podcast. Yeah. But have you been there in the fall when the leaves are orange?
No.
It's one of the only places in Arizona, like, cause once you get into the northern Arizona, then you get snow and there are a lot of aspen trees that do turn color. But anything south of Sedona, you don't really get seasons as much, you know? Okay. But Sedona in the fall is like, the whole valley is just bright orange. And then with the red rocks, it's just like everything has
I'm going.
And it's nice because it's not that cold, but it's not, you know, warm in a way that you would be like, oh, I want it to feel like fall. Like it really actually feels like fall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I recommend it.
All right, I recommend it. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Are there places like that in New Orleans where people are like, listen, you got to check this place out. There's like, there's something kind of interesting energy to it or.
Yeah. You know, that's, I've always said, like, I just want to take a group of people to New Orleans and just be like, hey, okay, this is the French Quarter. We'll spend there for a couple hours, but let me take you to the Bayou. Let me take you to Mandeville or Lacombe or something, like all these little like Bayou towns outside of New Orleans and even uptown. I mean, one of my favorite things that I used to do as a kid, when I was allowed to ride the streetcar by myself when I was 11 years old. So I would just go at the very end of the streetcar line on Carrollton at the river bend and go up the levee, and you can just sit like on the levee and look at the Mississippi River and all the river boats pass by. And I just get my like Baskin Robbins ice cream and just like chill and just be like, oh, wow, you know? And it's like no one knows about those places, you know, in New Orleans. And then the little bayou places where, you know, those are parts where my dad grew up. I mean, it's just like you go out there and it's just a whole different vibe, you know, like my uncle, his house is like right on the bayou. And I mean, sometimes you like wake up and there's like an alligator out there.
I was going to ask you, and then I didn't want to be that person. I was like, I'm not going to ask her about gators. I am not going to ask about gators.
You know, it's like I look back to and I'm like, yo, what were we thinking? Like my cousins and I would just like jump in the bayou, just like be swimming and stuff. And it's just like there's all these alligators in there. But,
oh my God.
You know, the adults, they always used to be like, they're more afraid of
they're
you.
They're shy. Yeah. Well, you are it's them. True that you don't hear, you know, again, it's like different depending on where you're from, because everyone for me were like, you know, I'd be like, and you go hiking and sometimes you go night hiking. And they're like, sorry, what about like rattlesnakes?
Yeah,
there's so much stuff in Arizona. You're like, oh, tarantulas, scorpions, rattlesnakes, black widows, like ground recluses, everything dangerous, cactus everywhere.
And they're all right there.
Yeah. But yeah, when you're young, you're like, that's all you know. And if you're not having personal experiences where people are getting gobbled up by gators or like getting stung by scorpions, it doesn't feel like, why would it, you know?
We never, ever, ever heard stories of like people getting like swallowed by a gator. Like we just,
it's just like, if you're not from a place, you know, it's the same thing with like, I used to be so afraid of tornadoes, just the concept, because I was like, people are constantly being killed in tornadoes. And people, people wouldn't live places. Although it is, does seem like it's always like, the people who have the least, suffer the most.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Where were, what's your timeline as relates to Katrina?
Oh, well, I was there. I had already enrolled in college as a sophomore, and I would go home, you know, during the summers. And so this summer I went home and
What college were you going to?
I was at North Carolina School of the Arts, which is now called University of the North Carolina School of the Arts. Understood. When I was there, it was just NCSA. But Yeah, so summer 2005, I go back home and I'm like working at my little restaurant job and just chilling. And, you know, that June we had Hurricane Ivan, which like everybody was like, oh my God, this is going to be a huge hurricane, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like, you know, pack up, leave town, do all this stuff. And so that's what we did. You know, like we packed up, we went to my grandma's house that was in Picayune, Mississippi, mm-hmm. which is a little tiny, tiny, tiny town. And nothing happened, you know, like it was just a raindrop. So by time Katrina rolls around and she's a tropical storm, I mean, I'm working at my restaurant job. I'm seeing it up on the screen. And we're just like, okay, whatever.
Here we go again, kind of. Yeah.
We're going to have a little rainstorm. Everybody just stay home. And so my plan was Sin City had just come out on DVD. so...
I love that you have a Sin City related, like yeah. it's tied into all of this.
I was like, I'm amazing. Stay at home, go watch some Sin City.
Yeah.
I wasn't 21 yet, but I was able to secure a bottle of wine.
By some crazy of course you can't do that these days.
No, not at all. It's totally illegal. Mm-hmm. Anybody under 21, especially in New Orleans. So I was just going to chill at home. My mom, so by this time I was living with my mom. And she was engaged to this amazing guy down in Mississippi. And he lived in Biloxi, Mississippi, which is right along the coast. So every weekend she would go spend time with him and take my little brother, who was 5 years old at the time. So it was just one of those things where she was like, all right, it's Friday, I'm leaving, like, do whatever you want. And I was like, yeah.
Sin City, here I go.
You know, I was like, about to be like, lit up in here all by myself, you know?
By the way, I am an only child, and so many of the things you're describing, I'm like, yes. Like, going places by myself.
Yes, right?
Being like, yeah, I know about this place. No one else knows.
Yeah.
I could relate on a
profound
level.
Like, I could sit at a restaurant by myself, and I'm like, why are you looking at me like this?
Totally,
like,
totally.
I'm enjoying my meal.
Yeah.
All right. So that was my plan. And I just remember like this weird vibe just in the air, like, you know, my neighbors and stuff were like, do we leave? Do we not? Like, this is about to be scary. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna ride it out. And it wasn't until that Sunday afternoon, my neighbor, who was also the mother of one of my friends growing up, she calls and she's like, Sierra, you know, my son's in the National Guard. He's saying that, you know, some stuff is going to probably go down. I think we should get out of here. Mm. And she was like, my daughter is in college at LSU. So we'll just, you know, you can follow me in your car and, you know, we'll just go up there. And I was like, you know, all right. And I was still like resistant to it because I just kind of was like, we're safe, you know, like, and we lived in the 9th Ward. And I was like, my home's going to be fine, you know, like we're not like close to the river or anything, you know.
And also we just don't want any of that to be true. So, and you don't want to feel like the person who was like, oh, you thought, you know, fire and brimstone, you were swearing, blah, blah, blah. And then it was fine. Like, you know, it totally makes sense.
So I just was like, you know, all right, cool. So I got a little overnight bag and just packed up and got on the road. And I just remember driving on I-10 and being like, oh my gosh, like, because there's so much traffic and just like this just chaos in the air. And I was like, okay, something's not right, but all right, you know. So get up to Baton Rouge and like my friends are there and we are like just acting like nothing happened. Like we're like at the mall and stuff. And it's funny because sometimes the pictures pop up on Facebook. Like you remember, because I like posted them on Facebook. That was like when I first got Facebook, by the way. Like every, so it's like your first picture from Hurricane Katrina times. And I'm like, yeah. Right. And we were like, we're just so young and like dumb. Like we're just like at the mall, like posing and just being like, oh, there's a storm coming. Like, you know, like whatever, like, you know.
You don't know.
Yeah, we had no idea. And then that night was the MTV VMAs and like Kanye West was like on there like being all crazy. Nothing has really changed.
No, I was gonna say
but we love Kanye.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just remember the big sign for me was I called my mom and I talked to my little brother and we had just bought these bunk beds for him. And so he was like obsessed with these bunk beds. Like he was just like, my bunk bed. And so like he was just like, and so like I'm like watching the VMAs and I'm on my cell phone like talking to him and he's like, my bunk bed's gonna be okay. And I'm like, Jalen, your bunk bed's gonna be
You're
fine.
You're like, the
man.
Top bunk will be. Yeah. Can't say about the bottom bunk.
Yeah, like I was like, it's gonna be fine, yeah. Dude. But he was just, I remember like saying it's gonna be fine, but in my mind I was like, actually now I really don't know. Like this is serious, you know? So then the next day it hits and, you know, we're in Baton Rouge, so we're not getting all the crazy stuff that's going on down in New Orleans. We got like some debris and stuff and we were out of electricity. And it was just like, okay, what's going on? The electricity wasn't coming back on like after hours. And then like the next day we still didn't have electricity and none of the phones are working, nothing. And I just remember my neighbor, Miss Sandra, her brother came up and he was a nurse and he comes up to come stay with us. And we're like in a campus apartment, a 2-bedroom campus apartment. Now when we first got there, it was about 7 people. And then it like ended up being like 10 of us. Wow. And he just comes in and he's like shaken to the core. And he's like telling us, cause he just left New Orleans. And he's telling us like the death and like all these crazy things. And I'm like, oh my God, like, okay, what's going on? And then we finally get power back around Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm on my computer and I'm seeing Biloxi, Mississippi and how it got wiped out. So I'm just like, oh shit. Like, sorry. Can I say that on here?
Absolutely, 100%, okay. Yeah.
And so I'm just like, okay. And then, you know, the panic sets in and I just keep calling my mom's cell phone. I'm trying to like get in touch with my grandmother. I'm trying to get in touch with my mom's fiance and like nothing's working. And so I just get this like crazy bright idea because I hear that Tiger Stadium, you know, where they have the football games, that's where Red yeah. Cross is registering people. So I'm like, yeah, let me go there. So I go and it's so crazy because it's like apocalyptic now. It's like people are rolling in. They got water marks on their yeah. bodies or they're coming in on stretchers and they're like holding like old people and it was just chaotic. And so they literally had a line where you can volunteer, but the line was split to like volunteer to pick up trash. Or if you're a medical student, volunteer here. And so it was like, they were just like, come here, you come here, come here. And like this doctor was like, medical student. And I was like, yeah. And so he's like, come here, come here. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, it's going to make me get closer to the people that can tell me what's going on and get me in yeah, touch with yeah. my mom.
So you weren't a medical student?
I was not a medical okay. student. No, not at all.
I was like, this would be an interesting right turn. I know, right? Performing like, arts school, but yeah. I guess they had pre-med. I don't know.
No, it was, so they like put me in this room where these elderly people were held that were rescued from New Orleans and they're like in their 90s. And the doctor just tells me, he says, just make sure if they go away, like if they go, like allow them to go peacefully. And so I'm just like, okay, all right. So it's just like, I'm, you know, it's like 3 women in there and there's this like really elderly, like black woman and her name was Ethel. And I'm like, Ethel, you doing okay? Like, and they can't hear, you know, like they were just, you know, and so at one point she just like has a problem breathing. And I'm like, hey doctor, like I just want to make, and he's like, we got to perform a tracheotomy on her. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking about Anaconda, that movie. And I was just like, I know how to do this. And so he just starts giving me the, you know, the stuff. And then he's like giving me a tube to like feed down her. And, you know, at one point I put it down like too far and she's like choking. So I'm like, okay. And I was totally calm. Cause I don't know. Like it was just one of those moments where I was like, sure, I could do this, you know? And like, I'm going to make sure that she's peaceful, like however this works out. And so did it. And the doctor was like, good job. And I was like, I'm definitely not a medical student, but we just, we helped her breathe, you know, like, so I stayed in that room for like 10 hours. And every time somebody came through with the Red Cross, you know, shirt or whatever on, I was like, hey, like, you know, looking for my mom, like any Peyton's on there, any, you know, and they're like, no, ma'am, like there's nothing. And, you know, and so eventually I ended up leaving because I just, you know, knew that I wasn't gonna, you know, get anywhere there. And my school had contacted me through email and they were like, look, whatever you need, like, let's get you out of there, you know, just drive up. And so that was the following Monday, I would say. I just hopped in a car and, you know, all the gas stations had no gas. Yeah. So I had to like drive up super north, like to like the last 5 miles of my gas tank to get, I mean, you know, it,
I didn't have last 5 miles. I probably had like a half a tank left, but yeah. I got as far as I could and finally found a gas station to put gas in my car. And then just drove across Mississippi and Alabama to get up to North Carolina. And finally, I believe right when I hit Alabama, my phone started ringing and it was my mom.
Oh, thank God.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was calling from her grandma's house in Mississippi. So they ended up evacuating and going to Mississippi. And then here's my little brother like, my bunk bed's okay. And I'm like, dude, like, I don't know, Jalen. Like, I'm just like, let's not worry about these bunk beds right now, dude. Like, let's worry about like where we're going to have a home next, you know?
You've got to get him some joke bunk beds for his, like, when he turns like 40.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know if you remember
how much you love bunk beds.
I just remember being like, but when we went back to the home for the first time, like, the bunk beds are actually okay.
They were okay.
They were just covered in mold, but, they were fine. God. So.
How long till you went back?
We went back. Well, my mom had gone back before, but I went back around Thanksgiving. So that was, like around the first week of September, Katrina happened. And then my first time going back was around Thanksgiving. So, yeah, it was nuts. I mean, people had looted our house and, you know, the second time I went back, like some guy was like sleeping in my bed and I was like, oh, this is not my home anymore. Because we had kept going back to try to like salvage stuff, right. You know? So
God, that's so surreal.
Oh, it was scary. So, like I just like, it was like nuts. I just remember like walking through the front door and like hearing a noise. And I was like, what is that? And like, I realized it was like a guy snoring and I was like, oh my gosh. And he was like in my bed and, you know, because people were just coming up, you know, to like come and help clean up the city and stuff. And so, you know, there were a lot of, just like, you know, people that didn't have homes and stuff too. So I was
so
like,
surreal.
Whoa. It was, and that was the moment where I was like, this is, you have to let go of your home, Sierra, because this isn't your home anymore.
Yeah.
And so I just, that moment, I was like,
oh my God.
That's it, you know?
God, so. It's so, because, you know, it's like, even when you just go out of town for a few weeks and your place is empty and then you come back, it takes a minute. It feels like like something feels just a little different.
And then you got to unpack.
Like, work your way back in, you got to unpack. The idea of that's sort of like in between, almost like a limbo space where it's like it's still your home. Mm-hmm. You recognize it. There's stuff that used to be important to you, but now it's in the context of this much bigger thing and people are coming and going, like violating that privacy, but does that even matter anymore? What does that mean? It's like, it's very existential, right? That's a big thing to experience at a young age, you know?
It was just, I mean, I still don't have anything to fully like wrap it up and you know what I mean? Cause it's just like, I was like, wow, I experienced that.
Could not have imagined that when I asked you that, I would be told that you performed a tracheotomy on someone.
Yeah, I know. Right. And my only reference was Anaconda. And I was like, oh yeah. I remember they put that thing in the
throat.
You're
like, it's a giant, I need a giant snake. Somebody give me a giant snake. Like, I know that's important somehow.
Yeah. That's how that happened.
How long? And was there like just a rolling period of time where you're reconnecting with people that aren't your immediate family, but that are like people you went to high school with?
Yeah.
People you went to, you sort of get like these ripple effect of like connecting with people later and later. Like, what happened to you? Are you okay?
You know, because I moved to New York after I graduated from college and it was just so random sometimes that I would just run into people from New Orleans, you know, up in New York and be like, oh my, we went to high school together. Oh my, how'd everything turn out after Katrina? And then like people would tell me their stories. Like I remember my friend's cousin that I ran into, he was like, yeah, I had to like swim out of my apartment. And I was like, what? You know? And he was like, I just kept swimming until I could like walk. And I was like, dude, are you know, people telling me how guys in boats were coming with the axes to like, you know, help rescue them and their like grandmother and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell, you know? And so, and then other people left, you know, 2 days before and were totally fine and just chilling in Texas. So, you know, it was, I mean, we all have like a collective, like, you know, we got through that, you know, and unfortunately for me, I mean, my grandmother had passed away during it all. And I mean, she wasn't like, you know, in the water or anything like that. But it was just, I just remember that summer particularly was so hot, and my grandmother had a lot of health issues. Mm. And so it was like no electricity. They weren't able to keep her medicine cool. And yeah. So she was just
all of those yeah. peripheral things that impacted people, whether or not the flooding was the problem, but it yeah. was like 5 degrees away from the flooding, if you will. Like this caused this, this caused this, this yeah. caused this.
Yeah.
So, oh my God.
We I'm survived.
Sorry. And yeah. then
the Saints went to the Super Bowl a couple years later. Oh. So we were like, that's yeah. yes.
We're back, everybody.
We're like, that's kind our of. Confirmation. Like,
yeah. You know. Oh my God. Have you so, gone yeah. to like high school reunions or anything to where,
no,
you know, everybody
I haven't.
Would be in one place and kind of go, hey, what's up? I haven't seen you since all of that.
But. No, I mean, I just feel like, I mean, I've gone to Jazz Fest. And so a lot of the guys that I went to high school with that were musicians, we always like, you know, see each other during that time. And I mean, because a lot of guys still live there. A lot of my friends do. And so it's just... We kind of have our own little, you know, reunion, but the kids that went to NOCA, the Performing Arts High School, we keep talking about it, like, we need to have a reunion, and but no one's, like, organizing it.
Yeah, so, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, so, you know, them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've had a college reunion since, and nice. So that was fun, yeah.
Did you play an instrument while you were going to
I did. I, well, not at NOCA, but when I was in middle school and elementary, I played the clarinet.
Wonderful, wonderful. That just falls into the group of reed instruments that I don't even know if I've held a trumpet, really? Trombone, clarinet. Yeah. I've never even.
Yeah. So we did the whole like marching band stuff in yeah. the French Quarter. And
oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I probably drove my dad crazy with it because I was always like doing Disney songs on my clarinet.
Hey, that's like, better than just like making noise.
Yeah.
Disney so, songs. He yeah. was like, get some jazz in here. What
yeah,
are you doing?
Yeah, you know, he actually did. He was like, do some Michael Jackson or something. So I was like, do 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 do. Like,
you know. Please release an all clarinet album of just the top 40 greats from like the 90s to 2000s.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll start with Wanna Be Starting Something. That was what he gave me. That's what I was like.
That's very satisfying.
Yeah.
That's very satisfying information. What else did you, so at the performing arts school in high school, was there other curriculum? Like, I don't know. Like the magnet schools I went to, for example, were certainly performing arts centric and art centric, but we still had like algebra and pre-algebra and all that kind of stuff. And I never know how deep a specialized school goes with like just the sort of basics, or if it really is specialized enough that there's not as much of that.
The first two schools, so elementary and middle school, were both mixed academics and arts. But in high school, New Orleans Center for Creative Arts is just totally arts based.
Got it.
And then you have to go to like an academic school, or like they would say like regular high school. So I went to McMaine High School for I was there, you know, for high school, but I would spend two or three periods there in the morning.
Oh.
And then during lunch, a bus would come pick us up.
Oh my
and take
gosh.
Us to NOCA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'd be at NOCA, you know, learning drama. But I had to also do two courses homeschooled as well, because I was like missing out on some of my academic stuff.
Yeah.
So, so that's how that worked. And
was that weird? Was there any kind of a weirdness with like, because I went to school that shared campuses with like a college prep school and a regular public school.
Oh.
And sometimes there was like a little bit of like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You play chess? Like,
yeah.
You don't have a football team. Like that's because you know, there was just sort of.
Yeah.
So was it weird like that some students would be like, all right, have fun doing whatever.
It was weird because when I would go to my regular high school, McMaine, like people didn't even know I went there. So they'd be like,
you're like, get in, get out.
They'd be like, who?
Check.
And it was so funny because recently someone from my school that remembered me shared an article or something of me on Facebook and was like, yeah, McMaine alumni. And like people were like, who? I don't remember her. Like she went to school here. And then somebody was like,
what a controversy.
I think she went to NOCA for half day. And I wanted to like chime in, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to say anything. Because now I'm going to like, now it's like really awkward. Because I was like, I totally remember the person that was like,
oh,
she went to school. I was
funny.
Like, yeah, we sat next to each other in algebra. No. You know, so.
How was that? Did it feel to you like you're looking at your watch, like, come on, let's get to the real stuff. Like, or did you get something out of the,
you know, I did. Cause you know, McMaine was like, like, it was such a like inner city school, and we just had like some characters of teachers. I mean, one of my teachers, her name was Miss Moody, and she was actually she was my math teacher. I can't remember if she was algebra or not, but I actually, math was always my favorite subject other than like acting and performing. And so I just loved doing math, and I was always like so good at it. So she would have me, like, I'd come into the room and she'd come in eating Popeyes and sit at her desk and just be like eating Popeyes and on her cell phone or something. And she'd be like, all right, Sierra, put your homework on the board for everybody. And I'd be like, okay. You know, like I'd get up and just be like, and then she'd be like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Anybody got questions? And they'd be like, I'm just copying. Like, you know, people would be like copying their homework, yeah, like really quick and be like,
oh my God. All
right, you know, Sierra, is that a 4 or 1?
Ugh.
It's a 4.
You know, like, that's impressive. Because like I wanted to be good at math, was not. But you could really tell the like how good my math teachers were by what grade I was getting. Like I had, you know, a lazy kind of shitty teacher in one year of math, and like I got a C, and then, you know, I had like this inspiring, funny, great teacher, and I would get an A because I really needed that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you could just do it on your own and just, you know, not need somebody to like make
and
it exciting for you.
My mom was really good at it too. And so I think like that was kind of, because my mom was a computer engineer. And so she was like, I'd show her the homework and she'd be like, oh, you know how to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I do actually. You know, and so.
Great.
But I mean, my other subjects, I mean, I wasn't like a dumb kid or anything, but it was just something about math that I was like, heck yeah, like this is awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, McMaine, it was just just your typical like football, you know, basketball, cheerleading type of high school. But, you know, it was in New Orleans. And so like, I mean, Lil Wayne went to my high school, you know? And so sometimes like you'd come outside and you'd be like outside, and he dropped out by that time, but he would just be like outside, like on the basketball court. And like, everybody like, oh, Wayne's here. Like, whoa, you know, like, like, oh, that's Lil Wayne. Like, you know,
that's so crazy.
And this was like before Back That Ass Up, I think. So it was like, you know,
Back That Ass Up,
I want to say. So it was like he was cool, but nobody knew that he was like going to be Lil Wayne one day.
Yeah.
So it was just that type of school. And then I went to NOCA, and it was like our classes were so small. Like, I mean, it was 8 of us in my class.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
And so it was just a real family vibe, and, you know, the teachers were just very accommodating, but tough, you know, at the same time. And, I mean, that was where I really felt that I was able to shine, and, you know, and be an actor or be an artist and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I go back to McMaine and people are like, you can go here? Like, what's your name?
Clearly, like, people still question it.
Yeah.
People still question it. Now, here's my question about NOCA is, because what appeals to me about it is this idea that, you know, you have all these alumni who are noteworthy, who have achieved this great success. Is there a double-edged sword to that? Like, does it feel like, oh, this could be me? Like, seeing it's possible to youngish. When I went to high school, nobody, I think Geraldo Rivera went to my, like, the U of A. And it was like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, not a whole lot of, you know, amazing people who had come before you to make you feel like it was possible. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder if that was intimidating at all.
No, I mean, because there wasn't really much pressure like that. I mean, that's the big difference between NOCA and where I went to college, because it was like that was the MO in college. Like, you got to be the next Mary Louise Parker because that's who went here, you know. Mm-hmm. But at NOCA, and I guess it's because of it's New Orleans, like just by nature, I just think we're so laid back. We're chill, you know, like just like, you know, just do your thing, you know, like do what you want to do. If you want to be an artist, like just, you know, try to be the best artist you could be. And so there was never any moment where it was like thrust on us. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that the staff and that the whole culture of that school was just to really, you know, honor kids' artistic abilities, you know. And NOCA was always really known more for its music program, because we just had, you know, the city's like best music teachers like come in and just like teach these kids, you know, how to play music. And a lot of them didn't even know sheet music because they were, you know, their uncle or their cousin, you know, played music. So they just picked it up by ear, you know. And so the teachers just really had a real, you know, grasp of just wanting to like just help you you know, better yourself through your art.
Yeah.
And so that's how it was in the drama program. And, you know, I just heard of Anthony Mackie going there, like, I don't even think from that school.
You know?
Like, I just heard of it. And I was like, oh, wow, you know. And later on, Wendell Pierce, he had came to our school to do a production. And they were like, oh, he's an alumni here, you know. And but it was just never, like, thrust on us.
That's great.
And so, like, it took away that competition, mm-hmm. you know, model. It was just like, hey, like, you know, and a lot of the kids there too, I mean, we all came from like broken backgrounds or like the inner city of New Orleans. And so I think the teachers just really wanted to, you know, just give us some light, you know, and like kind of just be like, hey, like, you're here because you got some stuff going on. And so you want to like perform. So we'll help you do that to make you better. You know?
What was the kind of stuff that you were doing? Were you doing contemporary and classic stuff? And did you have stuff that you responded more to?
Yeah. We did everything. But I think, you know, the two things that I really responded to was I always loved the Greek plays, you know, like I don't know. Like I was like, whoa, like, what, like, so-and-so, and then they, like, stab their eye out, like, what, like, oh, my gosh, like, this is insane, you know, like, and so I was so drawn into that, and I just remember we had a whole semester of just, like, learning the Greek plays and having to choose, like, Greek monologues to do, and then we had a senior recital where we got to, you know, for our whole year, or whole 4 years there or whatever, we got to pick a piece where we could perform, and I was like, I'm doing Clytemnestra, you know, like, so I love that. And then I was always drawn to, when we got to the Shakespeare part of everything, I just loved Cleopatra and Titania from Midsummer Night's Dreams. And it was funny because I got cast as Titania in high school and when we did a production there. And then we did a play. It was like it was an old medieval play. And it was called the Nativity play, and I played God. And so, like, it was cool because they, you know, I think the teachers kind of saw that power that I had at mm-hmm. a young age. And so they wanted to really, you know, honor that. Like, I was never really into all of the, like, oh my God, like, come save me
rescue
type of
me.
Roles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, they were always giving me these queen roles or these powerful, like, speak up type of roles, you know? And so, I just always gravitated towards that type of material. And I mean, I just remember when we were learning Macbeth, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do that one day. You know, I haven't played Lady Macbeth, but I'm like, one day I just, you know, I got to. And then they like did a version of it called Voodoo Macbeth at school. And so it was like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. These actors came in and did like this voodoo version of it. And I was like, oh my God.
Really cool.
Like, I was like, I got to do
that.
That's
a great
twist. So they just made it fun for us, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they always threw that New Orleans flair and vibe into it, you know? And so when I, you know, went to a performing arts college, like, we didn't have that type of culture there, you know? And so some things I was like, oh, here's Shakespeare now, you
right.
know?
Yeah,
it just wasn't.
If it feels more just that it's sort of like cut and dry, like, this is what you do, check the box, like,
I mean, it was, you know, I still enjoy the things that I learned in college, but New Orleans and going to performing arts school in New Orleans, it's such a unique, just different experience,
you know?
So
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and be a student there again. So
I know. It sounds like I'm like, wait a minute, is there still time for me?
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah. I've only been to New Orleans once and I was there working. And so it was so someone else's schedule. And it was like, wherever I'm staying, you know, I'll just like, because I'm very much like you, I was like, I don't care. I'll just walk. Like, I'm going to walk from my hotel. I'll just walk till I feel like maybe I should stop walking.
That's what
or,
I do.
And then
all
walk
the time
a different direction.
Home. Yeah.
And see it. And so I didn't see, but they of course had us down kind of by the French Quarter because we were shooting down there. So
nice.
I remember finding like whatever I would consider to be this sort of like, Melrose is a bad example because there's the weird mix going on down there. But for in Tucson, it's Fourth Avenue. It's like, where are the thrift shops? Where are the like one-off little places that are small businesses? That's like an eclectic street full of like artists kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I remember finding that area and now I don't even know. You know,
it's probably Decatur Street.
It was Decatur Street, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Decatur.
That's why
I'm always walking down that street when I go home.
Yeah.
So,
it was great. I just haven't spent that much time in the South other than, you know, anything east of Atlanta these days.
Yeah.
Seems like. such well, a treat.
You always
to
welcome
be.
In New Orleans, baby.
I gotta get back down there. My dad is, oh, he's upset. He loves New Orleans so much.
Oh, I have That's to introduce like him to my dad.
Second, so. Yeah, he's like, if I could go live somewhere for the rest of my life and like make it make sense, I think he would probably go there for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
Okay, let's get into this MASH game.
Let's play the MASH.
I feel that we have a very natural segue, which is going to be, let's do three characters from plays that you would love to play. Obviously, gender, none of that matters. It's just whatever you think would be really fun.
Okay. Well, I've said two, Cleopatra and Lady Macbeth.
Great. Right.
And Maggie from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Next question. Let's do three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home. Vacation obviously can mean busy city or beach, but if getting there were no issue, and it doesn't matter if you've been there or not, whatever you think you've heard about the place, that sounds good.
I fantasize about Bali all the time.
Great.
Paris.
Great.
This is probably the most strangest place, but St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh my God, fantastic.
On the beach there.
I love your willingness to roll with the fact that this is so on the spot. It's like 2 hours from now, you're going to go, well, why didn't I say?
Yeah,
like,
I know,
every
right?
Every category, whatever. Okay, let's do three people, fictional or real, from any period of time that you would like to have as like sort of a mentor / friend. It doesn't have to all just be like, what do I do? But just somebody that you are, inspires you, that you could hang with.
Prince.
Right.
Marie Laveau. She was a voodoo priestess in New Orleans.
Amazing. Heard of her.
And Lena Horne.
Oh, man. Yeah. Speaking of, I remember I had an awareness of her because I think she did maybe she would do stuff on like Sesame Street and Electric Company.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
And then when I saw The Wiz.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of that energy.
Yeah.
You would have made a great, I just remember being when she appears, you feel like you're rising up off the floor. She's like, just what is happening? She's
glowing.
Magic.
Yeah.
She's magic. But then I would have nightmares about the subway.
I know.
Creatures.
Oh my gosh. My boyfriend and I were just talking about that. So
very
freaking scary.
Like, I can kind of still creep myself out. I'm sure if I saw it now, I'd be like, that's adorable. Yeah. But at the time, overall, the whole movie, and like when the, and the slaves working and their faces.
And then they just
cry. I was crying. I was a very emotional child. Poor people. What are they, dolls? I don't know what's happening.
And it's like, that's a children's movie.
Then they take off their clothes and they're just like beautiful, fit bodies and they're amazing dancers. You're like, I have a lot of feelings right now. I don't know what any of them are.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Oh, wait,
we were just talking about that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, this kind of goes back to what you were saying about sort of cooking and being vegan and those kinds of decisions. Let's say in this alternate universe, there's no, like, everything is magical and it comes from someplace fine. Mm-hmm. So three things that you would like to be able to have in perpetuity, none of it is going to be bad for you. So if it's, gumbo, ooh, you could have it snap of your fingers and there's no negative ramifications.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want like some vegan gluten-free gumbo.
Great.
Man, I want like Pizza Hut deep dish pizza that's gluten-free and vegan and really good.
Pizza Hut.
Get
it going. Pizza Hut, come on. I'm sure they don't listen to the podcast.
I know, right?
Your biggest fan, Pizza Hut,
yeah,
Janet.
Yeah. Well, they're listening, actually. No, I just called them.
Oh, great. So, it's a life changer.
Just like a big old crab leg.
Great.
I don't know. It's so simple, I guess, right?
But I hear you. Okay, perfect. Next category. All right, listen. This is a MASH game. I got to get into the romance of another universe. I'm feeling very guilty right now.
It's a whole
really
different
guilty
universe.
However it feels comfortable for you, it can be, because then if it's like somebody from, you know, somebody who's not alive anymore, could be a character, could be a cartoon, no judgment.
Oh my God, yes.
Three alternate universe fun love stuff.
Okay. Well, Prince.
Right?
Now I feel really, really weird, but no judgment. I used to have the biggest crush on the character John Smith from Pocahontas.
Amazing.
Played by Mel Gibson.
Yep. We're going to pretend. Yeah. It's all John Smith. All good. None of the bad.
Yeah,
none of the
right?
potentially morally questionable actor behavior.
Oh my God.
Wonderful. Prince John Smith. I'm very on board for that. Very on board.
Gosh. It's like I'm torn because alternate universe, because you never know when these things come back and haunt you, you know? Like, we're going to pull up this clip and you're like working with the person and you're like, you said something and they're like, oh, you want me? And it's like, no, I don't. I just said it.
Yep. Understood.
I would also, you know, yeah, because I'm going to bypass that one.
Great.
We'll just say, for the longest time, even after he announced he was gay, I was crazy about Lance Bass from NSYNC.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Okay, great. Beautiful. Well handled. Well navigated. Okay, next one is three movies that you can jump into and just be in that world. You're not reenacting the plot. It's just like, I want to get in there and just be there. For however long you want.
Terminator.
Great.
I have no idea why Fantasia just popped in my head, that Disney movie.
I used to be like...
Yeah.
I really wanted to be... What did I want to be? Like maybe one of the little fairies?
Oh, really? I wanted to be like the half horse.
Half horse? I was going to say that.
Yeah,
because
they're like in the water like...
I was going to say that. And then I was like, maybe that's weird. Like, oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very pleased by this.
Yeah.
I should have just said it instead of being like, I think I wanted to be a fairy.
And then the third one, anything that I could jump into that I would love, The Professional. Like if I could just be in that movie or a movie like that, that'd be freaking awesome.
Great. Mm. Okay. Three alternate universe careers.
Alternate universe careers. A doctor.
Tracheotomy.
Yeah, I'd be a tracheotomy doctor, doing that every day. a pilot.
Great.
And like, a queen. Just like chilling
check
in Buckingham Palace, you know.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Let's do the last one will be let's do a pinch of time travel. So you can go to any point in time. You're kind of in like a safety bubble. So you're not going to like, you know, get
my mind
grip,
went somewhere. Sorry.
You're not going to get, you're not going to die of like consumption. no one can do anything to you because history is weird.
Yeah.
But things that you could see. So it could be like you see something and like you solve a mystery that no one really knows the answer to, or it could be like seeing the dinosaurs, whatever you want.
Egyptian times, like just seeing what those statues and stuff really look
so
like.
So many questions. Yes.
What, like, I want to know what, like really what, it, what's the pyramid? Like, what is it? I'd like to go. Can I go to the future?
Yeah,
or I have to go like
absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to go to like the place in time where we're like chilling with aliens and just be like, we always knew you were real. And then I love Marie Laveau, and you know she was around in the early 1800s, late 1700s. I'm in my safety bubble.
You're in your bubble.
You know, nobody's gonna like shackle me or anything. But that's like that's another time. But and it would have to be in New Orleans too. So yeah,
great. I'm gonna say Marie era, and I'll know exactly what that means. Okay, great. So now I just need to do my little squiggle to figure all this out. So just tell me when to stop. Great. I'm going to pause this.
Okay.
Do a little bit of, I wouldn't call it math.
Yeah.
You'd be much better at it if it were math. And then I will come back with your 100% guaranteed fictional MASH future.
All right.
Okay. I feel very good about this. Before I reward you with this amazing with future, can you please tell the folks listening where they can find you, what you've got going on? There's a few different things that I love about you. So,
yay. Well, I'm on social media as Sierra Payton. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's just a little
look for the spelling sign in the show.
Yes,
title.
Please.
It's right there for you.
I don't know what other Sierras you'd get, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I have She's Gotta Have It coming out on Netflix season 2. So I'm going to be on there.
Yep.
And I just completed Madea's Family Funeral. We were just out in theaters and now we're going to be released on DVD.
It's just a shame that Tyler Perry is not successful and there's just not an audience for what he does.
I know, right?
It's just a shame. I'm hoping he'll catch on someday.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
You know, like.
He's amazing. Is he great to work with?
Oh, he's awesome to work with.
I only hear amazing things about him.
Oh my gosh. I mean, he's so funny. But he's like, you know, he has this huge presence about him.
Yeah,
you know? He's like 6'4 and he's Tyler Perry and he owns a studio.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, but he's amazing to work
with.
That's
great.
Yeah.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah. And then I was just on Being Mary Jane on BET. So
fantastic.
Yeah, all of those things going on.
Fantastic.
And then I'm in a space of just allowing what's next to come up. And,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Guys, please check all of that stuff out. I am very excited to tell you that, number one, listen, when we put the same person in two different categories, you just never know how it's going to end up.
Yes.
Sometimes it sucks because they don't get him either time.
Mm.
But in this case, I can reassure you that not only are you best friends with this person, but you also have a love affair with Prince. Sweet, sweet Prince, RIP. Wonderful Prince.
I just melted.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got him. That's like a double dose.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Oh, I love Prince.
So well done you. I don't know how much time you spend with or without him. I know you like to be alone a lot like I do, but you do have a beautiful apartment in Paris.
Ooh, okay.
That you can vacation to. If that's not lively enough for you and you want to have a little more action, rest assured you can also jump into The Professional.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice. And get all up in that world. You also have this, and I don't know, listen, how all this plays in, whether you're retired already or you just split your time, but you are also a very successful doctor.
Nice.
Tracheotomist, one assumes. Just popping from place to place like the tracheotomy fairy.
Yeah.
Just dropping a tracheotomy here.
I'm just 24-hour assistant.
Yeah. When you're needed, there you are. People like wish on a little genie bottle. I want to reassure you that you're going to be, obviously, a lot going on, very busy, going to work up an appetite. Unlimited amounts of vegan gluten-free gumbo tastes as good or better than the original gumbo.
Nice.
Otherwise known as OG. That's actually what OG stands for. Yeah. No one knows that
original gumbo. They have no idea. It's a New Orleans thing.
It's a New Orleans thing.
Yeah.
You also have the opportunity to play Maggie in Canada Hot Tin Roof.
All right, nice.
And you can answer a lot of questions that I know I have, for one, about actually seeing with your own eyes ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
And really seeing like a day to day. What did that really look like? What's happening? What are the pyramids all about? Who's making them? How are they making them?
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Don't get buried.
I won't.
You're in a safety bubble.
Okay.
So that, my friend, is your guaranteed MASH fictional future.
I love that.
And I want to thank you so much for coming over and doing the podcast. This is a blast.
Thank you, Janet. This is
what
awesome.
What a lovely piece of my afternoon. Thank you. Thank you. And guys, I'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Bye.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.